Alright, so.
Good question for the new planner.
So, so then we beat 308 and that enough for tonight, right? Zoning warehouse standards.
I just gave it.
I just received the attachment from John Fuller regarding that. I haven't even looked at it yet.
I haven't either.
Minutes before the meeting.
Did you get?
I didn't even get it.
Did you get that?
I got it right before the meetings. They got it right after they left today sometime.
That's what you brought, that's what you brought me.
That's what I brought you.
Right, okay. So did you get, did Michael get a copy of that?
No, she had to get in here and get things rolling, so she'll make another copy.
Make another copy for Michael then, if you would. So we're tabling that as well, keeping it on the agenda. Mixed use zoning amendment?
Oh, before we go any further.
Okay.
On the warehouse, we had discussed, I was discussing with Tony about taking out the section for solar power. Because we wanted to do our own solar thing. And he was, I was touching base with him about the what do you call it? Solar farms, the solar farms.
I've unfortunately become an expert on solar power farms.
My God.
I have four pending in different townships the last year.
And that was already taken to court and lost, you said, right?
Two of them were approved. One of them was denied, and then it was approved by the court. And the fourth one's pending.
So, besides the fact that they're so ugly, and they use so much land for what they do, what provisions are made when they have to be decommissioned?
What we've done with the two that were approved, where there was a developer's agreement filed with the approval, indicating that the owner of the solar farm, their successors and the signs were responsible for decommissioning it at the time that it was no longer in use for more than 6 months. And every 5 years, the engineer did an estimate of what it would cost to decommission, which was reviewed by our engineer, and they went back and forth. And every 5 years, we are going to re-examine that bond, and if it needs to be increased, it'll be increased. So, and if it is still not enough, the owner, who also executed the developer's agreement, and his heirs, successors, and assigns would be responsible for the balance of any cost of decommissioning. So it puts the burden on the owner and the owner of the land and the owner of the farm, to either have in place a bond that's enough money to tear everything apart, or it's going to fall back on the owner of the property to do that.
And if they all go bankrupt, as we know people will do.
Well, and that's why the bond is there.
But then the overage, who eats the overage at that point?
Well, that's a question hopefully that'll never come up, because if it's every 5 years, year 20 would be a reexamination. And my understanding of these is that most of them are decommissioned after year 20. They only last 20 to 25 years.
Okay.
So we have more junk. So we have more junk development.
Yeah, we are. What happened in one township was that both of them were. One was 20 acres, and the other one was 15. They're small. They're not huge. But both of them were out of sight, out of mind. One was on the top of the hill, right next to the PPL substation, and the closest residence was about 2,500 yards away. And the other one was even further up on the hill, adjacent to the first one. So fortunately, the ones that I've been dealing with are really in areas where there's no residential development contemplated or existing.
And then what
one is great because there's 200-foot trees up there and no one's ever going to see it.
Well, that was the other thing we discussed. We can, if they wanted to put them, I'd say here, we can always make it a buffer zone so you couldn't see it. Absolutely. From traveling past, right?
Yeah. The ordinance, the solar ordinances for some reason only have a 50-foot buffer zone. If you look at the one from PSATs, it tells you 50-foot setback to the property line. In all the ordinances so far, in all the condition of use hearings, we've extended that to 100 or 125 feet.
Well, we're going, why can't we encourage or say if they're going to do parking spaces over so much, or they have a canopy at a gas facility, or they have that needs to be covered with solar. Let's put this ugly solar to use where you've got the property's already ruined.
Yeah, one of the things that we always raise at the hearings, and one that we deny, which we were unfortunately were overruled by the Wayne County Court, that's still pending. They had to redo their application to comply with some ordinance provisions that they had. But unfortunately, what we try to entertain is having them have their own fire suppression. My fear is these things break awfully easily. And supposedly they have a system where it's an automatic shutoff, but I'm aware of at least one fire that needed to be put out by a local fire company, and that was in upstate New York. And it took them approximately 24 hours to put the fire out. So I've required all of them so far to have their own fire suppression. Whether they do it on site, whether they have the panels that automatically have the built-in suppression. But so far we've been able to get them to agree to fire suppression on each one of them.
Now, that's
helped with the neighbors too. Even though the neighbors aren't that close, it's helped.
The ordinance that you were talking about that even Tom used, does that have all that in there? The fire suppression, the bond? The ordinance you were telling me about that Tom Shepstone was even using?
The one that Carson did.
Right.
It does not specifically say that, but it does say that it has to be to the satisfaction of the local fire department. So in the two instances, the three townships that I had this happen in, I pulled the fire chief aside and said, make them require fire suppression.
Right.
And they have, and they've been willing to comply with that.
Now, is that bond in that ordinance too, or is that something separate?
No, the decommissioning bond is in the ordinance.
Okay.
Yes. And in the ordinance, it actually says every 5 years. I would actually like to see that every 3 years.
Well, we could always add the fire suppression in there too, right?
Absolutely.
Well, and what about like EconoPac, that flat roof? Why shouldn't that be full of solar? The like I said, the canopies and the gas stations and the parking lots, why shouldn't they be covered and have solar?
I don't know. I imagine they can, because usually the ordinance I'm talking about only applies to large solar farms, 2 megawatt and above. There is a separate or standalone ordinance that deals with somebody that wants to put solar panels on their home or business for their own use.
Can you get us copies of those?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Do you want to regulate a guy that puts them on his house? Doesn't the state already do that?
Yeah, the state has one. The PSATs organization has one down there, but it's kind of like their parking ordinance. It's kind of wishy-washy. I like the one that Tom and Carson did for Lehigh Township and the one for Dreher Township. Now, another planner, Jack Verilay, who is from down in the Hazleton area, did one for Jefferson Township. His is a little more readable than Tom's and Carson's, a little more plain language, but it's pretty much the same concept. So I'll get copies of all three of them. I'll have my secretary copy them and send them to each of the members.
We're good.
That'd be good.
Okay.
All right. So what got us off on that one?
The warehouse.
The warehouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mixed use zoning amendment.
I've been looking over a lot of different ordinances on that. And number one, I don't think we need mixed use. Multi-use covers everything. Mixed use, I think they mean the same thing.
Well, see, traditional mixed use is when you have residential and commercial in the same building.
Right.
Or on the same property.
But now I'm looking at Pennsylvania ordinances from the state, and they're saying multi-use, they consider that residential. They even go up to industrial, residential, commercial, and industrial mix.
Yeah, there's that one piece that's ordinance that says industrial. I would not recommend that you...
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they're covering everything, it seems, under multi-use rather than mixed use.
Right. That's the term they use, is multiple commercial and residential uses.
Right.
Okay, so...
Mixed use is more of a zone type thing. I think I sent you one from an our township where there's actually a mixed use. It's not large. It's only about maybe 25 acres of the township, but it's a...
An overlay?
It's a mixed-use zoning district.
Right.
Right. And the thought process in that township was, it was all kind of industrial uses on top of the mountain anyway. So if somebody wanted to do a residential and commercial, that would be a perfect place for it. And what we ended up with was a family fun park with a racetrack.
Well, you know where we're going to get it, along 6 and 209 and up Route 6.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be everywhere in our development district.
Okay, so case in point, we have mixed use, multi-use, whatever it is, going to go next door. One person is going to own all the uses. It's obvious that that's going to be, at some point in time, subdivided. So do we have, how do we know when we do a land development like that, that this is subdividable?
Yeah, that's the thing. Some of them are trying to say, because the property is only leased, that they don't need to do a subdivision. And I'm like, no, you got to do a subdivision. Because it's a non-residential use.
It's got the imaginary lines, just like next door, on the other side of us.
So the problem I have with, again, the ordinance as it stands with multi-use, is you have... The only thing your ordinance deals with is multifamily project, okay, and multi-occupant commercial building. So the thought is that only applies to a building that has one building with more than one tenant. So there's nothing really that deals with, and this is where this issue comes up with the person that was just in front of us, he's proposing multiple buildings on a commercial property. And our ordinance really doesn't deal with that, and that's what the zoning officer told. So if anything, we should probably deal with that first and worry about the mixed use later. Because there's no definition of multi-use structure, and there should be. I mean, there's residential development, but there's nothing that says commercial development.
Right, and it's all something that we already have.
Right, there's nothing in our ordinance that would deal with it. I agree that there is something that says multiple occupant commercial building, but that's simply for a single building with two or more tenants.
Which we got a bunch of those.
Right, there are. But a commercial, a multiple commercial building on a single parcel is not dealt with in the ordinance.
And we have those too.
So our zoning officer is saying that it's a use not provided for. Attorney Waldron's arguing that it's obviously got to be a use that should be intended for zoning, and therefore he shouldn't have to go through that process. So, I don't.
So run that by me again. Do that again.
So what you have in the ordinance is you have provisions that say you can have a multi-family dwelling, and you can have a multiple commercial occupant building, okay? Which means one building with more than one tenant, more than one commercial use. There's nothing in the ordinance that deals specifically with what DEPG is asking for, and that is multiple commercial buildings on a single commercial parcel. And there's plenty of examples where we have multiple uses in a single building, but I can't think of one where we have multiple commercial businesses, different buildings on a single parcel.
Didn't we have that in the definition somewhere where it was multiple?
We did, and that's, I've gone through it twice. After our conversation, this morning.
I could have swore I read that sign there.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's Mr. Waldron's argument then?
Okay, his argument in his letter is that they shouldn't have to go through the use not provided for to go to the zoning hearing board, because all of the uses that are proposed are uses that are either principal permitted uses, okay, in that zone, or conditional uses in that zone. So he's saying he should have the opportunity to go directly to a conditional use hearing without having the planning commission recommend and the zoning hearing board hear arguments as to whether the uses are appropriate, because they're all uses that are already listed in that zone. And I think that it's a rather stable argument. I mean, it's a decent argument.
I would say it's a decent argument, but I don't know all the numbers. Mm-hmm. If he wants to use it as a principal permitted use or a conditional use, each individual building then would have to meet all the setback requirements, the height requirements, and that as far as I know right now is unknown. I mean, if they all met the requirements of a single building, even though they're all on the same lot, then I would say I would have to agree. But if they don't, if they're taking like less of a distance between the buildings or anything on the setbacks, then no.
No, they'd have to meet all setback requirements. The only thing that that I heard that they were proposing was there were two items that would require the Zoning Hearing Board to issue variances on, and that would be, one, the 2,500 square foot convenience store, and two, the parking in the front. Because okay. We even made EconoPact go to the Zoning Hearing Board for variance on that.
Okay, but besides that, the other thing I would have to say would be, if they were taken as a principal permitted use, each one would have to meet the lot coverage too. So are you going to say this section that you're leasing to this business, do they meet the lot coverage for that section? You know what I'm saying?
You know, I think I do, and I think that that's contemplated by the plan.
Right.
They have to meet, you know, they have to meet the setbacks, and they have to meet the overall lot coverage.
Right. I don't mean the overall. I'm saying for each individual building.
Oh, but they're not subdividing.
No, I know they're not. But if they want to go by the principal permitted use and the conditional use, these are the conditions that each and individual building would have to meet. Can they meet it? Because if they down the road decide they want to sell off the lot, that lot should be meeting whatever our lot recommendations are.
Right, I think it has to be established up front that this is not something that's going to be. I almost wonder if we shouldn't require subdivision and land development approvals, because if the project, as you say, if the buildings are put up by a single entity, and then they're all leased, that's one thing. But, I mean, the question becomes, what if somebody wants to buy their building, and then the building next door is not far enough away?
That's what I'm saying.
You have to have that up front in order to make this a saleable project individually.
Right. If there's, let's say, six buildings on the lot, each building would have to meet its own requirements for the section that it's on to meet our ordinance in order to be out of that 306 altogether. That's why
I think he's proposing the municipal curative amendment to avoid that.
No, because the problem we got then his only other option would be. The deed to that property have to read no further subdivision.
Yeah, you'd have to have it not only on the map, but also on the deed.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless each building can meet its own requirements.
I agree.
Okay.
You understand what I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
Am I supposed to be even talking about it?
That's all I have on that.
Okay.
Has anyone heard anything in the 537?
Only thing that I heard is that there will not be a public hearing. And I reported that at the last meeting.
So are you going to answer the comments?
What?
Are you going to answer the comments? Okay.
I don't know.
I have a meeting coming up down at DEP Wilkes-Barre in a couple of weeks. I'll find out.
Yeah. So that's where we are. But what about a municipal planner? Have we made any progress on that?
Well, that's the only one we got interested. They sent a letter, a resume, and everything was Nancy. And I have spoken to her since the last meeting with the supervisors, because there was a concern about the build-out that was done. But that build-out that was done was basically told the way they wanted her to write it. And she's willing to come in and sit down with a group meeting of the planning board and the supervisors. I've looked at some of her work. And I find it very well-written, short, to the point. Tony's worked with her quite a bit. And
not many years, but I have worked with her for many projects in the past.
That's what I meant.
All right, so.
So I think it's worth having her come in. She's willing to drive up here. And she also said if she's our planner, even when she comes to the meetings, she wouldn't charge us full rate for the drive to and from.
Well, I can't ask for more than that. And we want the we want our planner present.
So. Yep.
All right.
Yes.
So.
And that's a point she made, that she...
We want our planner present when we have an important project going or something.
Absolutely. She said she would be here.
And actually, and this goes to a very good point, Matt, is that in a lot of townships where there's a single solicitor like we have now, the planner goes to the planning commission meetings and takes care of most of the procedural stuff. And it's only if the lawyer is absolutely necessary that he goes. So you could probably save some money by having Nancy be at your workshop meeting, and then I would only come to the regular meeting.
Right, well, that's a thought.
Or both.
Right.
I like Zoom.
Yeah, it works out well. All right. Are there any other concerns? Tony's got a lot of homework now.
Yeah. Did you want to just take a quick look at what I gave you for the comments from the... I know it's not on the agenda, but it's a workshop.
For the...
The county comments for the map.
These are the comments.
That's the one thing I did not bring with me, Bob.
Tax parcel, the bridge property is shown in the developmental district. This parcel is a municipal park owned by Dingman Township. Consider changing the zoning district to limited growth district. It's an existing park, and the fact that they fell into the developmental district is unfortunate, but...
It's actually, I would disagree with that. I wouldn't say it's unfortunate. I would say it doesn't fit the low growth district, because actually down the road, you know, like you said, supervisors get replaced. If they decided they wanted to put a hot dog stand in there, they could, because it's a development district. They could actually do more with it as a park in a development district than they could with it in low growth.
Well, you've got the development district on one side, and you've got residential on the other, because you've got they are neighbors to, like,
Lutzenberg. Lutzenberg.
No, the development
district. Sagamore.
No.
Oh.
The one on Route 6.
Oh, Hickory Hills?
In Milford Township, Hickory Hill. Right. Is that what it is? Hickory Hills.
I think
so. Yep. So.
I drive by every day, but
so what did Tony bail on us?
He comes and goes.
No, he's still there.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, Tony.
I agree.
All right, so we're talking about the bridge property. What is the difference? What that's listed at? That's a park that Dingman Township operates.
The park in Dingman, right?
Yeah. Well,
it's in Milford Township, but it's Dingman's Park.
Right, but I don't see why we would have to change that to...
Consider changing to limited growth. I don't see the advantage.
What is it now, R?
No, it's the development district.
Developmental district. That's because that big piece of property that we have is developed. That's in the Route 6 corridor.
I would leave it alone.
Leave it alone, okay. The parcel, the Sauk Hill Business Center and Victory Drive includes property both sides of the interstate. The proposed map shows the northern portion being limited growth district. This needs to be changed to developmental district to match the southern portion of the property.
Let me see if I can pull that up. Go, move to the next one.
The only thing that that would...
property that's cut in half by 84.
Yep.
Yep.
And that would be across from Madeline there, that one little piece of property. That's the old Luther Morrison property.
Right.
So, how do you access that property?
The Shakopee Road goes right alongside it. And it's not, it's only an acre sliver or whatever it is that's left on that side. It's not, that's the same property that, that Architectural Iron is in, where Ray Willis's shop is.
Okay.
That was all a Luther Morrison property when they cut it with 84, and then they cut it when they made the new Shakopee Road through. So the sand pit was part of Luther Morrison's. Architectural Iron was part of it, and then this sliver over across from Madeline's winds up being part of it. So I don't think anybody would care what that is or what it's listed as.
I think we can leave the map go on that too, because
let them do a DD or whatever they want to do with it, right?
Yeah.
The following parcels are proposed to be in developmental district. That's the Quick property. These parcels were in residential, should remain in, they're not remaining in residential district. And the township supervisors passed a proclamation that they would be
that commercial. There was a public hearing held on that, and there was minutes indicating that it was granted.
Me and Kevin brought that right up to Pike County Planning with the minutes.
I didn't just respond that it was changed by the supervisors and give them the minutes of the meeting.
As per the PAMPC 609, in the event a zoning ordinance amendment is proposed involving the zoning map, the municipality shall send notice of a public hearing to the affected property owners within the area proposed to be rezoned. Notification by first class mail at least 30 days prior to the hearing.
We're not planning on rezoning anything. We submitted the map as is. They're asking us to rezone.
Yeah. Right. On that Victory Drive one?
Yep.
That's just that little piece right there that's right on Shakopee.
Yep.
There's no access from this property.
No.
And that's what I was explaining to you earlier, that Victory Drive property, there's no access from that property to the other one on the other side.
I'm not understanding that last comment, because this is the map that has already been to the county for approval.
Right. Nothing's changed on it there.
And so they're saying they want to have a public hearing for the map changes. We're going to have one. We can have one.
Yeah, but we're even according to this, at worst case scenario, everything is the way it is on the map, and it's been that way.
So we might is being changed.
All
right. Now Blue Ridge Cable, they own the parcel right here on Bennett Ave, and that's been Blue Ridge Cable for a long time. That's in the R district. That's residential. Okay, but if that was to change, that would be the only one we got to change out of everything on the map. But it's been in residential. When you look back on the old maps, it was still in residential back then.
And you're not changing it?
No, just let it go.
Yeah.
So I would just simply suggest that we don't make the changes that have been proposed. So, and we still have to advertise for a public hearing anyway, because it's a zoning map amendment. But I mean, to give notice to the people whose properties we're changing, we're not changing any.
We're not changing any.
I think we need clarification from Mr. Snyder on that.
No,
I'll draft a letter to him.
I think you need to clarify it to him.
Yeah.
That we're not so. Right. I'd entertain a motion that we send this letter on to the Board of Supervisors and let them handle it from this point on.
Yeah, you don't have to make a motion. It's a workshop. Just
all right. You don't need any directive.
Just direct the direct, you know, the
I'm going to respond as was indicated that we're not making any changes.
This is a letter to the supervisors anyway.
I'll take care of it. Then we'll just direct the secretary
to tell the supervisors that the planning commission is satisfied with the map. That's all we need to do with that, right?
Thank you very much.
Huh?
You want to keep that?
I guess we ought to. Anything else?
I don't have anything.
Do we have any public participation? I see that we have somebody on. Whoever's listening doesn't care to make any comment or be...
Oh, yeah, there is someone.
Who's listed as Max?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I had asked him to unmute, but...
If there's no public participation
or no comment, then I entertain a motion that we adjourn.
I'll second it.
Thank you all. Have a good week.
All in favor?
Aye.
You made the motion, you know.
I made the motion. Bob's good. That's why I was waiting.
Thank you, okay. Tony.
Thank you.
We'll see you Tuesday night, I guess.
See you Tuesday night. Always fun.
Yep.
Okay.